church. It's just such a spirit of a comforting spirit. I don't know how you're feeling here tonight. I just feel such a comforting presence of the Holy Ghost here. I just want to pray tonight for the Seidel and the Knopp family, Sister Terry and Brother Sister Kim's brother Rod was in a car accident 2 weeks ago tonight, and he's on life support, not a lot of brain activity. The doctors are basically stating that there's no way he's going to survive. Rod's been here many times, the church. And I serve a God. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. I serve a God that can reach through low brain activity, no brain activity. God can touch. God can go into the recesses of the unconscious mind. So let's pray for Rod, for Sister Terry Seidel and Sister Kim Knopp. Lord, I thank you for the witness, God, of Sister Terry and Sister Kim. I pray, God, as their families go through this dire time of frustration and struggle, I pray, God, that you reach into the mind of Rod, Lord, right now, God. You begin to move and touch. God, I pray, Lord, for a miracle. I pray, Lord, for a miracle, God. We ask you, Lord, to touch right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated, church. Well, thank you, all of you, for coming out tonight, this Wednesday evening. If you're worshiping, joining us online, welcome to Wednesday evening Bible study here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have not been taking up an offering, but you can still give. The cgcmadison.org, go to the give link. You can mail it here to the church, 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can text to give, text tithing and offerings. Just a little bit of an update. I got some pictures this past week from Brother Forkpaw in Liberia, and the church is growing and doing very, very well. And we'll get some of those pictures posted in a future service here, but just wanted to pass that on. He says hello to his brothers and sisters in Madison, Wisconsin, Calvary Gospel Church, Liberia, to Calvary Gospel Church, Madison. So this Friday, we have our all-church prayer meeting. We'll be in the parking lot again at 7 p.m., so we want to make sure we're here for that. Also this Sunday a.m., Brother Morton Bustard will be here. So we're excited to have him here. And we have a new order. I don't know how many of you are keeping up on all of this, but we have a new order that begins next Monday regarding the wearing of face coverings. So we are required that everyone would wear a mask in the building. We're asking that everyone wear a mask in the building and during services starting next Wednesday at July 15th. I don't know what the stipulation or what the fine is if we don't comply. If you don't want to wear a mask, just be willing to pay a fine if somebody takes a picture of you and sends it in. Good Lord knows this mess we live in right now. I get so frustrated. I'm half tempted to go get me the wildest, craziest welding helmet I can find and just wear it everywhere I go. You want a face mask? Listen, I'll give you a face mask. This is where you wish you were Darth Vader. Where's Jordan? He's got to have one of them. You got one of those still around, Jordan? It's a good time to bring it out, man. Darth Vader, and we could all be stormtroopers, I guess. So I don't know. Anyway, so that begins next Monday, and we'll work our way through it just as we've worked our way through many other situations and circumstances. And everyone says amen. And oh me, thank you, Brother Ben Smith, for a great job Sunday and last Wednesday. And I see that baby sister is still struggling. What's going on, Isaiah? Really kicking hard? Oh, maybe this week, huh? Oh. Oh, how is everybody? You enjoying the weather? I enjoyed the thunderstorms we got yesterday. I love just sitting out on the back porch in a good old-fashioned downpour. And we had a good old-fashioned downpour yesterday, but it was just so great. And I'm just looking forward. Man, I can't believe it's already past July 4th. Man, is this summer zinging by fast. Brother Millen is going to be going to see the district board soon in August, I believe, for his local license. So we're excited about that. So I want to start off tonight. Have you ever asked this question? If I'm serving God, shouldn't God make my life easier, not harder? Have you ever asked that question? Brother Dan Powell looks over there like, you ever asked that question? We're just going to just get real down to bare bones tonight. I'm going to try to get through this. If I don't, I don't. But nevertheless, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about trials and tribulations and using faith to overcome. And I want to look at a little bit different perspective on this tonight. So some of this may sound a little bit redundant. When I say redundant, maybe a little bit repeating. But Jesus talked a lot about trials and tribulations. And I think he let us know in more than one of his sermons that to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there was going to be a price that was going to have to be paid. And that was not going to be just a light price. It was not going to be something that would be like a dime store price. It was going to be something that would be like a very expensive jewelry store price, to where in fact, he refers to the pearl of great price, to where that a man sells everything he has. And there are many times Jesus mentioned in the scripture that if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you've got to take up your cross daily and follow me. And so we ask ourselves this question many times, that God, if I'm a child of God and I'm serving you as best I can, then why does life just keep getting more difficult? God, how come you can't make life easier? Most of us believe, and we've always wanted to live our lives, I feel, to glorify God. I don't know about you, but when I live my life and by witness, I want to be able to glorify God through my witness. But to live a life that shows God's infinite power and worth so that God gets all the praise, not us. But our flesh sometimes, anybody here ever, your flesh ever just get in the way? Man, sometimes flesh stinks like roadkill. It does. And that's us. That's you and I. You see, the Bible is filled with stories of people who God used to show his power. We read these stories, and in our hearts are saying, Lord, use me for your glory. Show your power through me. I want to be like David. How many of you want to be like David? Till we have to face the lion, right? And then maybe we take care of the lion and God sends us a bear. And we take care of the bear, and God sends us a giant. And we take care of the giant, and then God sends us, well, maybe God didn't send us, but we end up with the Bathsheba on a rooftop. And all of a sudden, everything just goes to pieces because of our flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. We want to be like David. We want to be like Daniel. I think Daniel had an impeccable life and an impeccable witness. I can't think of anything that Daniel did that was wrong or that God scolded Daniel for. Daniel was an incredible, but we look at all of these lives of people in the Bible. We just talked about Job. We talked about Joseph. We talked about Jonah. But we can talk about Moses, and we can talk about Isaiah. We can talk about Ezekiel. We can talk about Paul. All of these had major trials in their lives. All of them. I love how Paul put it. I didn't write the passage down, but we can, you can, excuse me, search it out. Paul says, you know, I do all kinds of things that I hate. The things I hate, I do. And the things that I should do, I don't do. And we struggle with all of these things in our lives. And most of the people that we read about and we kind of put on our idol shelf, if we can call it that, in our minds or in our hearts, we remember them because how they faced the difficulties of their life. Had they never faced any kind of a major trial or tribulation in their life, we probably wouldn't even know their name. They probably never would have even been mentioned in the scripture. So this has massive implications on our lives. If we, and we can use, I mean, the Bible is our roadmap of life. If we desire to be used by God for His glory, the last time I checked, God hasn't announced a change in His strategy. And that strategy that God continually uses through generation after generation after generation after generation, God still uses. Oh, trials. Sometimes it's hard to just get it out. God still uses trials and those pesky tests. I had a teacher in high school that every Friday was a test. He wouldn't announce it. Sometimes he'd announce us. Sometimes we'd come in thinking, oh, he didn't say anything. And he'd come in and say, you know the drill. Every Friday's test time. We'll test you on everything we went over this week. And God is really no different than Mr. Burr, biology class in Sun Prairie. We go through a week of life, and God says, okay, it's Friday, prayer meeting time. I'm going to test you. And oh, how we hate that. How we hate that. But we still must pass the tests. This is a reality check, church. Right now, our whole country, our whole world is in a reality check. But we as the church, God has us in a different reality check. And we have to understand that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. But yet God is going to be testing us, and sometimes His tests, He will test us individually, as I've said before. He will test us as families, and He will test us as a church. So if we want to be used by God for His glory, we must be prepared for trials. So we're going to look at this tonight, a change in perspective. We're going to look at trials and tests from God's point of view. How God views them and what God expects of us as we go through them. Okay, in the past, I'm just going to say that listen to me, church. Some of us here tonight are doing very well and are going to survive the trials and the tests that are ahead of us. But some of us are not going to make it. And the reason we're not going to make it is because we're not taking what's happening serious enough. You see, the past as non-committal Christians is over. I'm just telling you, it's over. God is systematically weeding out his church. He's given us ample warning. He's given us ample time, Brother Seidel. We've had over 2,000 years as a church body. And God says, I'm wrapping this up. I'm coming back soon. And the ones I'm coming back for are going to be those five wise that are ready, have their lamps trimmed, burning bright, and are ready for my coming. I'm going to let the ones that are lazy and going to use every excuse in the book as to why they shouldn't be at church. Understand, I'm not, if you have health issues and all kinds of things, my father and mother have not been to church in a long time, okay? And I've told them, Bishop, I think it's best for you to stay home until all of this is over. It may never be over. We may see them periodically. Some of our elderly saints that we have talked to, Sister Manley is quarantined in her home. She can't get out. You can't get in. We have elderly folks in the hospitals that we can't get to visit them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are able, healthy, should be willing, should be ready, but the battle is out there and they won't engage. That's what I'm talking about. So some of us may not survive. God is going to use all of these situations that we're going through as a nation, as a world. We're going to face some of the same things in the church, some of the same accusations, some of the same trials. God is going to use us and test us, and it's a make it or a break it for his church. God must know, understand, in order for God to trust the early church in the book of Acts, I mean, Jesus spent 3.5 years with those 12 men. God has to know. We have to erase any doubt in the mind of God that he can trust us at Calvary Gospel Church. So, how does God know that he can trust us? As to how well he tests us and how well we pass his test. Paul says in Acts 14:22, he's talking to that New Testament church. He says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So you want to be used by God? It may be worth it, but it's not going to be easy. I remember the last Man Up adventure I went to was in the Black Hills. We sat in the parking lot of the trailhead where we were going to hike up, and it was very unique because it had snowed, and this was in May and of last year, and there was 8-10 inches of snow on the ground, and we're going up hiking, and Brother Nathan Thompson was showing us from a long distance. You could see the ranger station way up embedded into the rock on the side of the hill, and it was way a long way away. You had to almost have binoculars to see. I remember standing in that parking lot looking at that, and it didn't seem to be that difficult that far and away. But boy, you get on that trail and you begin hiking. And sometimes heaven, sometimes our objective, sometimes our goal, Brother Dave, can seem so, so far away. We're in the parking lot, and we're looking at the mountain peak, and it looks obtainable, but then we get on that trail, and you start walking through the woods, through the forest, walking over trees, and the temperature begins to heat up, and the water begins to run down the trail, and obstacles begin to wear and tear on you as a person as you hike. But you've got that ranger station. That's lunch. That's where we're headed for lunch. So we know that we're going to be there by lunch. And you walk, and you walk, and you walk, and you walk, and you walk. And sometimes you totally, completely lose sight of the goal. That's how our lives as Christians can be so many times. Because we're walking through the obstacles of life, and we can't always see the end goal on where we're headed to. But God is just saying, follow the path, follow the trail, follow the leader. You're going to get you there. We're going to get there. Don't panic. So if you're panicking tonight, I just want to just follow the path. If you lose perspective on where you are, just grab onto the person in front of you and pray that they have enough strength to lead and guide. You see, if we want to be used by God for His glory, God is going to have to entrust us with trials. What does entrust mean? When I say, what does entrusting mean? It means that we're going to be assigned trials. It's part of our maturity process. You see, God is looking not just for a bride without any blemish. He's also looking for a mature bride. You ever been to a wedding where the bride has been very immature? I think they call them, is it right, bridezillas? Is that? There's some groomzillas out there too, okay? We're the bride of Christ, not the groom of Christ. So it's part of growing up. So, why does God use trials so often? He uses trials because trials get our attention. Trials are effective. If you have the courage to follow after God wherever He leads, these perspectives that we're going to start to cover tonight, they have to be more than just a head knowledge. It has to be something, church, that must become embedded within our hearts and within the very fiber of who we are. Because when the storms of life continue to blow, and trust me, church, the storms are going to continue to come. But these truths will keep you from sinking. We've covered over the past two series some very important points when it comes to living and having faith when we go through trials in life. And we're going to continue to build upon those points tonight, looking at trials through the eyes of God. And we have to understand that God, how does God look at all of this? Understand something, church. God never looks down and says, oops. Have you ever worked with something or worked on something and you're so intent on this, and maybe you're working with another person and all of a sudden that person says, oops? It's not what you really want to hear. But you see, sometimes we look at God and we're like, are you sure, God? And God says, yeah, I'm sure. There's no oops in this. God is in control. God is not sitting on His throne, wringing His hands as He waits for the outcome of events in our lives. Even if I can't see how, I can be confident that God is working on my behalf for His glory. So understand number one here, and I'm not going to get this done tonight, unless you have a whole lot of time on your hands. I'm just kidding. Everybody looks really serious tonight. Trials are part of God's work. Just understand it. It's part of God's work. This helps me out at times, number one, to stop worrying about how things are going to work out. You see, my heart is mostly peaceful at times, but we're human and we struggle. But when I remember that God promises to work for His glory and for our eternal good, you see, pain is not without purpose, period. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We have a hard time with that "be still and know," don't we? Because our humanity, as soon as a trial hits, from our human perspective, we want to sort it out and figure it out. And God is telling us from His perspective, shut up, sit down, be still, and know that I am God. I, not you, I will be exalted among the nations. I, not you, will be exalted in the earth. You see, that was part of David's problem. Saul has killed his thousands. David has 10,000s. You see, after a while, David didn't even feel like he had to go to battle. Because it became about David. You see, but God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am God. I am going to be exalted among the nations. I am going to be exalted in the earth." That leads us to our next point. Trials put God's power on display. When God allows us to step into a trial, it's just the very high percentage of a possibility, Brother Mellon, that He's getting ready to work for His glory. Not for my glory, not for your glory, not for the glory of the church. You see, historically, we can go through Scripture, and every person that went into a trial and came out of a trial, this is how God prefers to work. I love the story of Gideon. He started off with an army one-fifth of the size of the Midianites. And then God looks down and says, "You got too many men, Gideon." And God stepped in, gave him a new command, and made the odds even worse. Why did God do that? God did that because He understood that humanity is all about me. Judges 7:2 says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, mine own hand has saved me.'" You see, God uses trials to show us that He alone deserves the credit. Listen, trials make it clear to the world around us that you and I are not in control. Everyone can see that we as humans, we don't have the ability or the strength to overcome the problems that we're facing today. Everybody has a solution for the problems we have today. But it's not the right solutions. Therefore, when God works, God gets all the glory and not us. So here's a little bit of bad news in all of this. When God works in a big way, hear me now, when God works in a big way, it often involves facing a big trial. All right? So we need to get ready, church, for big storms and big trials. And how can we be prepared for big storms and big trials? By getting through little storms and little trials. Having to wear a mask to church next Wednesday night, trust me, it's a little trial. It's a little trial. We're going to get all upset, and some of you are going to say, I'm not going to church. You know what? Stay home. I don't care. It's a little trial. It's a petty little trial. And God is going to find out just exactly who's serious and who's not. Just saying. If we want God to trust us with big things, because that's the way our human nature works, give me the big stuff, God. And God's saying, you can't handle the little stuff. So how can you? But God doesn't want to give us big tasks without testing us in little tasks. So every trial that God sends, even down to our daily frustrations, are meant to test us and grow us stronger. So that obnoxious person sitting in the cubicle next to you that always pops their bubble gum when they're talking on the telephone and it drives you nuts. It's those little frustrations that God's testing you. You may say, seriously? Yeah, seriously. Listen, if you've got anger issues, and I think from time to time we all have anger issues, listen, God's going to use all kinds of little things. Somebody's going to pull out in front of you, and you're going to react to that, and you're going to get mad. And you're going to say some things that maybe you haven't said in a long time. And you get aggravated and angry and you find yourself chasing that person down. And God's saying, yeah. And you want to face Goliath. You can't handle the mouse. You see, every trial God sends, if we want God to use us for big things, we've got to be able to start passing some of the little things. If we don't pass the little things, then why? This is one of those biblical principles that you just can't get around. If I don't pass the little tests, then why should I expect God to trust me with greater things? You see, much like our physical body grows stronger through exercise, our souls grow stronger through trials of life. Without trials, our spiritual body and soul becomes weak. As the old saying goes, soldiers realize that it's war that makes generals. Generals are made on the battlefields of war. We become strong through trials and through tests on the battlefields of our lives. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings. We're going to end with this scripture tonight because this is a good ending point here, so if our musicians can come. We rejoice in our sufferings. You can go ahead and stand with me. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. You see the process here? And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Paul is telling the church, we rejoice in our sufferings. This is God's plan. Wasn't my plan. Wasn't Satan's plan. This is God's plan. This is God's perspective. Or perspective, excuse me. God's perspective when he looks at humanity. He looks at his church. He says, church, I desire to perfect you. And we struggle sometimes as we go through this perfecting process. You see, begin to think back today. I remember that dream that God gave me 10, 11 years ago now. How that people were coming in from all over. I was asking God today, I said, Lord, where is all of this? And all I could really feel was God was just reassuring me that everything is happening just as I plan. In order for the world to need a Savior, first of all, they have to realize they're lost. God is seeking to build up and strengthen his church so we are ready for a lost world. God is desiring to hone us and change us. If his church isn't willing to change, then why would he want to even bring people here? But you see, as weeks turn into months and the pressures of life become very, very heavy, we know where to turn to. But the world is clueless unless we show them. And God must perfect the saints to prepare for the perfecting of the world. I don't know if I'm getting through here the way I feel in my heart, but if we're broken and we're unwilling to be fixed, then why would God send a broken world to our doorstep? The world is growing weary and tired and frustrated and angry and showing all kinds of emotions, and all kinds of things are happening on a daily basis. God is saying, church, you're going to go through the same. We're all going through this. But it's for our perfecting. And through the world seeing us and our testimonies, and we become a light and a witness. Then they have a place to come to. So tonight, I want God to perfect me. And sometimes I have a hard time with that. I just do. Not that I feel like I'm just perfect, but I struggle. These last few months have been a real struggle in so many different ways. And I know so many of you are frustrated and struggling as well. We just have to smile and say, God's got this. So Sister Fiona, as you sing tonight, I just want to open up this altar. And you can pray in your seats if you're more comfortable. Just find a place. Say, God, help me to see. Help me to see all this from your perspective, Lord. Help me to see what we're going through, Lord, from your eyes.
I trust the power of your
I want to see the world as you see the world.
Enough to seek your kingdom first.
Change my life. Change my heart. Change my mind.
The ocean
change my thinking processes, Lord.
When I walk through the water,
we have a lost and dying world, God.
When I go
and Lord,
through the
they're growing tired.
I will not be drowned.
And Lord, when they come into this place, Lord, they have to be able to feel your presence.
When I walk through the
they have to feel
waters,
hope.
I won't be overcome when I go
and I pray, Lord,
rivers,
that you strengthen each and every one of my brothers and sisters.
Drowned,
those that are not here, that can't be here.
So
God, if we're not coming just because it's more convenient to watch on Friday night or Thursday night, then be here, then God, shake us, Lord. God, if we can't be here because of sickness, illness, or we're in a high risk, God, wherever we are, our brothers and sisters, wherever they are, brothers and sisters that are struggling in their health.
My praise will call the sun to rise.
God, I ask you, Lord, to touch them right
the
now.
God,
let a flow of healing flow across this congregation, wherever our brothers and sisters are, God, in their homes,
rivers,
hospitals, nursing homes.
God,
they may be sitting
so
in their car.
I pray,
God, that your hand will be upon us.
Feel the flame.
I pray, God, to lead us.
Silence,
I pray, God, to guide us.
Victory,
I pray, God, to direct
God
us.
Away, so I, am not
I pray,
afraid.
God, that you use our trials to perfect us.
I have this confidence because I've seen